On behalf of the General Assembly, I have the honor to welcome to the United Nations His Highness Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, Emir of the State of Qatar, and to invite him to address the Assembly.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Your Majesties, Excellencies, and Highnesses, Your Excellency, President of the United Nations General Assembly, Your Excellency, Secretary General of the United Nations, I am pleased at the outset to extend my congratulations to His Excellency, Mr. Mugend Liktov, on his election as President of the 70th session of the GA, wishing him every success. I wish also to express our appreciation to His Excellency Mr. Sam Kutesa, President of the 69th session of the General Assembly, for his efforts in conducting its proceedings. I wish also to avail myself on this occasion to commend the efforts deployed by His Excellency the Secretary General Mr. Ban Ki-moon to achieve UN goals. Mr. President, it is gratifying that the United Nations has adopted the post-2015 Sustainable Development Agenda, which we participated therein, based on our belief that a good distribution of the development fruits is a prerequisite for realizing social justice, preserving human dignity, and enhancing the cohesion of communities, consequently strengthening security and stability in the world. Since there is no lasting stability without development and social justice, development is equally impossible under the circumstances of war and unrest. It was our hope that this session be convened after some progress has been made concerning some bloody conflicts in this world. Yet we find ourselves encountering more challenges and crises that threaten international peace and security. The absence of international consensus has proven again an obstacle to resolving important questions. Selectivity adopted in enforcing justice and international law is still prevalent in dealing with regional crises. This would compromise the concept of international legitimacy and the values, norms, and principles that have settled in human conscience and adopted by the international community after millions of people paid exorbitant price, especially after major humanitarian experiences that have taken their toll on people's memory, such as enslavement, genocide, colonialism, racism, and world wars. It is not permissible to tamper with these values that have been derived from the suffering of peoples. Perhaps this is the raison d'etre of this organization. Without this basis, our annual meetings would be meaningless. Mr. President, the conflict in the Middle East would continue to pose a permanent threat to international peace and security, given its direct impact on numerous crises facing the region and the world. The just and lasting solution of Palestinian cause, which remains an issue of people displaced from their land and are still under the yoke of occupation, cannot be delayed to another generation. The achievement of a just and lasting settlement that allows an end to the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories and establishing a Palestinian state requires an Israeli partner for peace. For the time being, there is neither an Israeli partner for a just peace or even for a settlement. In these circumstances, there is an international duty that cannot be evaded towards the last de facto colonial issue in modern history. Until there an end is put to occupation, procrastination, delaying tactics, futile contacts and statements would continue. There would be a continuation of the condemned and feverish settlement activities in addition to the persistent violations of the sanctity of Al-Aqsa Mosque This is a clear indication of the absence of Israel's will for peace, as well as the domination of ultra-Orthodox fundamentalist nationalist elements over the Israeli policy. Look at what is happening in Jerusalem. Extremist religious political forces tend to rely on literal interpretations of texts dating back to thousands of years in order to desecrate other people's sanctity, occupy their land, and to settle on it. Isn't this tantamount to a religious fundamentalism? Isn't this violence, an act of terrorism carried out by radical religious forces? Permit me to address a message to all major parties of the international community in general that the continuation of the Palestinian question without a permanent and just solution is a stigma on the face of humanity. The international community is failing in what is less than a fair settlement. It has not even succeeded in achieving reconstruction of the Gaza Strip in the aftermath of the aggression. An international conference by a Norwegian initiative was convened specifically for this purpose. Qatar pledged to pay $1 billion for the reconstruction process. We continue to provide aid to the Gaza Strip in implementation of our commitment, but we wonder what happened to the conference and its decisions. The international community represented in the Security Council is duty-bound to assume its responsibilities by taking firm stance, forcing Israel to comply with the deliverables of peace, namely, and halting all forms of settlement activity in the occupied Palestinian territories, lifting the unjust siege of the Gaza Strip, and to be committed to implement the resolutions of international legitimacy, which recognize the Palestinian people's right to regain their legitimate national rights and establish an independent Palestinian state on the borders of 1967, in conformity with the principle of the two-state solution. We caution against missing the opportunities, because if peoples reach a conclusion that there is no peaceful solution to this question, then this would lead to unpredictable, dire consequences to the region and the world. Mr. President, the Syrian crisis, with its current and future dimensions and repercussions, is generating catastrophic consequences for the Middle East region and the world. That is in light of persistent atrocities and horrendous crimes perpetrated by the regime against the Syrian people, threatening the core status of the state and its people, creating a breeding ground for intensifying the phenomenon of extremism and terrorism under false religious, sectarian, and ethnic banners that endanger man, humanity, and cultural heritage in Syria and the region. In this context, the Syrian regime has manipulated the concept of terrorism by depicting peaceful demonstrations as terrorism, while it has been practicing actual acts of terrorism. When the shelling and killing of civilians brought people to embrace armed action and the entry of some organizations that are not committed to the demands and principles of the Syrian revolution into the sphere of the political action without permission, Syria has turned into a war zone. Then the regime has attempted to scare the international community of the alternative. It was incumbent upon the international community to stop the massacres at the right time and provide the conditions for the Syrian people to put forward a rational, civil, and fair alternative for despotism. But is there a tyranny in the world that could acknowledge an alternative? Is it possible for a tyranny to allow an alternative to grow and develop under its shadow? When a people suffers from war of genocide and displacement, then the worst decision is not to take a decision, and the most detrimental danger is to ignore danger. The failure of the international community to take necessary decisions and measures to end this disaster is a major crime. It reveals the failure and inability of the international system and leads to a loss of confidence in law and in the international community. In this connection, the role of the General Assembly must be activated and strengthened, being a broader framework for dealing with people's issues in light of the inability or failure of the Security Council to find fair solutions thereto. From here, I would like to call for cooperation in order to impose a political solution in Syria that would end the reign of tyranny and replace it with a pluralistic regime based on equal citizenship of all Syrians, defeat radicalism and terrorism, and insulate Syria from them, repatriate the displaced to their homes, and allows reconstruction of Syria. The question is not whether this is possible. This is possible if there is a will among certain states. The question which poses itself to us all, do you see that the continuation of the current situation in Syria is possible? The conflict has been transformed in this country into genocide and mass displacement of the population. This has grave consequences and fallout on all the regions and the world, and even on the countries that do not expedite the solution because they are neither directly affected by the conflict nor reached by the influxes of the displaced. Mr. President, the international handling of the nuclear disarmament issues that is mired in shortcomings and double standards alarm us. A clear evidence of this is the recent failure of the Non-Proliferation Treaty Review Conference to render the Middle East nuclear-free zone. It was disappointing and have dented the credibility of the treaty. The agreement between Iran and the 5+1 group is a positive and important step. We look forward with hope that this nuclear agreement will contribute to the maintenance of security and stability in our region. Yet we demand moving forward to disarm the entire region of nuclear arms, nuclear weapons, and weapons of mass destruction. In this connection, and given the strategic importance of the Gulf region, the achievement of stability in the Gulf is essential for the countries of the region and the international community in its entirety. In this regard, we emphasize our firm position that the Gulf region must be spared any nuclear weapons dangers and threats while recognizing the right of the countries of the region to use nuclear energy for peaceful purposes in accordance with relevant international rules. On this occasion, I would like to assure that Iran is an important neighboring country and that cooperation between it and our countries is in the interest of the region. Bilateral relations between Qatar and Iran are growing and evolving steadily on the basis of common interests and good neighborliness. There is no dispute concerning bilateral relations between our two countries. At the level of the region, there are various creeds and religions. But there is no, in my opinion, a Shiite-Sunni conflict in essence, but rather differences that are triggered by the political interests of countries or the interests of political and social forces that foment internal sect-centric prejudices. The existing disputes, in my opinion, are political, regional, Arab, Iranian differences rather than being a Sunni-Shiite dispute. This could be solved through dialogue and initially agreeing on rules governing the relationship between Iran and the Gulf states on the basis of non-interference in internal affairs. It is high time to conduct a meaningful dialogue of this kind between the countries that will always remain neighbors and are not in need of mediation from anyone. We are ready to host such a dialogue in Qatar. Mr. President, we affirm our commitment to Yemen's unity, territorial integrity, and sovereignty, and support the legitimacy and completion of the political process in accordance with the Gulf Initiative, its executive mechanism, the outputs of the national dialogue in Yemen in January 2014, the declaration of Riyadh in May 2015, and relevant Security Council resolutions, particular resolution number 2216. It is not reasonable to have a precedent that a basic political party accepts the outcome of a national dialogue and then tends to neglect it and try to impose its own vision and domination over the whole country by force. Concerning the Iraqi affair, the stability of Iraq requires a national general consensus devoid of any outside interferences and free from any discrimination, whether sectarian or ethnic. And we hope that the Iraqi government will be able to meet the requisites of concord and reconciliation among the various Iraqi people's factions. Experience in Iraq and Yemen has proven that the existence of militias outside the framework of legitimacy poses a threat to the state by virtue of the definition of the state and its exclusive right in establishing armed forces, and is tantamount to a dormant civil war that would turn into a full-blown civil war sooner or later. Any political solution in Iraq, Yemen, Syria, or Libya must include ending the existence of militias outside the legitimate institutions of the state. This is a key component part of any genuine settlement, without which there would be neither a permanent settlement or real solutions. Political forces in our region must be alerted to the phenomenon of thousands of young people who recently took to the streets in more than one Arab country demanding that citizenship be the basis for partnership and refusing either to be represented on a sectarian basis or that sectarian representation be used to cover up corruption. The phenomenon of terrorism, with its dire consequences, imposes grave political, security, and economic challenges before nations and peoples. There is no doubt that tension and conflict zones have contributed to the emergence of terrorist organizations. The international community's failure in addressing the hotbeds of tension and conflict has also contributed to creating an environment that advocates the execution of terrorist operations. Terrorism comes from radical ideas that accept no compromise with the reality of people and their potentials. It thrives in an atmosphere of despair and blocked horizon. Terrorism does not emerge in an atmosphere of policies that guarantee living in dignity and freedom for citizens, but it arises in the shadow of tyranny, feeds on the oppression and humiliation, builds on grudge and hatred due to torture in prisons, and took advantage of the loss of hope of peaceful political action. In fact, the behavior of influential powers in the international community distorts people's perceptions rather than contributing to provide clarification. Some armed militias committing crimes against civilians and public institutions are branded as terrorists, while others perpetrating violence and intimidation against civilians are not considered as terrorists due to considerations that are not linked with local communities but related to major powers and regional countries, or because of reasons that are related to transitional alliances. The rising toll of victims of the terrorist operations has necessitated the use of military force to deal with terrorism, and we affirm our commitment to fight terrorism. But even in the harshest conditions, we should not ignore the underlying causes. Otherwise, the result would be a worsening of the phenomenon and an increase of its spread. We stress here that, in essence, there is no faith that preaches terrorism. In all religious texts, there are enough teachings that call for peace, tolerance, and coexistence. But the fundamental thing which is ignored by the promoters and mongers of literal citations is the religious spirit that preaches noble values, tolerance, cooperation, and constructive dialogue for the benefit of humanity. Simple people, with their typical religiosity, consider religion first and foremost a set of values and morals. This is what we must build on. Mr. President, the state of Qatar has sought to pursue an advanced policy in the field of protecting and promoting human rights. We continue our cooperation with international organizations through our membership in the Human Rights Council to consolidate the concepts and the culture of human rights through pursuing an approach based on the rule of law, transparency, justice, and human dignity. We must work together to strengthen the collective security system to effectively deal with international and regional problems to maintain the rights of peoples. We have to persistently face any attempts to impose temporary solutions to address the side effects of the problems rather than touching the roots. Finally, the state of Qatar will spare no effort in supporting the efforts deployed by the international community to achieve the goals that we all seek in a manner that would achieve the interest of our peoples and the good of humanity. May Allah, peace, mercy, and blessings be upon you.
I wish to thank the Amir of the State of Qatar for the statement just made. May I request representatives to remain seated while we greet His Highness.